Let's continue to worship God.
Welcome and good morning. Let us prepare for our time of worship. Heavenly Father, be with us now as we prepare to worship you. Clear from our minds any stray thoughts and unite us as one body in Christ with open hearts and minds, ready to hear your message for us today. Amen.
Thank you.
The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with you. Good morning and welcome to all of you joining us in person, online, and over the airwaves. We're glad you're worshiping with us. For our listeners, remember to visit our website where you can find the bulletin for today's worship service under the Worship tab, as well as our newsletter under the Media tab. Our website address is www.trinitypreslbg.com. For our in-person congregation, please sign the attendance pads found in the pew pockets at the center end of each pew. Please pass the pad down to others sitting on the same pew. This month, we are collecting stuffing, rice, cranberry sauce, coffee, toilet paper, and washcloths for church community services. All donations can be brought to the church and left in the narthex. We will get them to church community services for you. Looking at this week's calendar on the back of your bulletin, today at 3 p.m., we will gather in the fellowship hall for a time of fellowship as we bake and taste pumpkin bread for our visitors' bags. Everyone is invited, so come join the fun. The newsletter deadline is tomorrow. The Trinity Singers rehearse on Tuesdays at 5:15 p.m. here in the sanctuary. Pastor Jim's Bible study will not meet this coming week. On Saturday, we will hold our monthly prayer meeting here in the sanctuary at 10:30 a.m. Don't forget to call or text Catherine with your coffee order, and it will be here when you arrive. Looking ahead to next Sunday, Adult Sunday School will meet in the choir room at 9:30 a.m. Middle School Sunday School will meet in the Fellowship Hall at 10. Pre-worship singing will begin at 10:45 here in the sanctuary. Today, we welcome back Tim Verhey and Ivy McLaurin and thank them both for leading us today. Elizabeth, do you have any other announcements?
I just want to reiterate the fun we're going to have this afternoon. If you've been to any of the recent festivals, to the Highland Games or the John Blue Festival, you may have seen that Blue Crayon Cafe is working really hard to make Laurinburg just a little bit sweeter. And so Dave's going to be here with us this afternoon, and we're going to be baking pumpkin bread. So these loaves will go into our visitors' bags that we share. Well, they'll go in the freezer at first, but we will then put them in the visitors' bags, and then we'll also be tasting that wonderful bread this afternoon, and maybe even learning a little bit about some of the wonderful ways that we see bread throughout stories in the Bible. So I invite you, please, to come at 3 o'clock this afternoon. I think it'll be a fun time as we gather together. And now I do invite you to stand and join in this ancient tradition of passing the peace. Here in the sanctuary, we just wave. If you're online, we invite you to text one another saying, "The peace of Christ be with you." And if you receive such a text, respond with, "and also with you," and then to remain standing for our call to worship.
Please join me in our call to worship from Psalm 22, which is printed in your bulletins. You who fear the Lord, praise Him. All you offspring of Jacob, glorify Him. Stand in awe of Him, all you offspring of Israel. For He did not abhor the affliction of the afflicted. He did not hide his face from me, but heard when I cried to him. Let all the ends of the earth turn to God and worship. Let us join together in our hymn of praise, "I greet thee, who my sure Redeemer art."
Thank you.
As children of God, we come to God in our joys, in our sorrows, in our fears, and in our guilt. Knowing that God loves us and embraces us, let us bring our confessions to God. Please join me in the unison prayer of confession as found in your bulletin. Our hope is no other save in thee. Yet we anxiously grasp after things that provide no satisfaction or security. We hide behind masks of accomplishment, afraid to reveal our vulnerability and need. Give us your Spirit so that we can hear Jesus' command to follow him as a joyous opportunity rather than dreadful requirement. Teach us that true peace and security come only from a complete reliance upon you, our Savior and our Lord. We will now have a moment of silence for personal confession.
Amen. Brothers and sisters, if we were left to our own devices, we would surely be lost. Yet, who is in a position to condemn? Only Christ Jesus. And Christ lived for us. Christ died for us. Christ reigns in power. Christ prays for us. All of us who are in Christ are a new creation. The old life is gone. A new life is beginning right now. Amen.
Seated. We now invite our young people forward for our time with young disciples with Shannon Hamilton.
Good morning, ladies. So we're going to talk about life. Sometimes it's hard to juggle everything that we need to do in life. So I need just one of you, because you're representing how I have to juggle things in life, so there's nobody to help me hold everything. So only one of you can hold these things, okay? So at a time in my life, I had a child playing volleyball and some kids playing baseball or softball, and there was some soccer games I had to go to. And I like to, one of my hobbies is to bake, but I need time for family. And sometimes I like to travel. I like to read. Oh, the boys played tennis. I like to take a walk. Oh, I need two shoes to walk. Forgot Cole's tennis match. But I need to read my devotion. And what about time with God, Jesse? Yeah. Okay. So I need you to hold time with God, though. What do you need to do? Exactly. You need to let go of some things so that you can make time for God. So that's what today's scripture verse is about. And just yesterday, I heard a story that I've added in at the last moment. So a little boy asked his dad, "How big is God?" And his dad said, "Well, do you see that airplane up there in the sky? How big is that airplane?" And the little boy said, "Well, that airplane is not very big, Dad." And so the dad took him to an airport and brought him right next to an airplane. And he said, "How big is that plane now?" And the little boy said, "This airplane is huge." And the dad said, "That's how God is. The closer you are to God, the bigger God is for you and how he can help you take care of your problems." So we have to let go of some things so that we can be closer to God. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you that you give us so many things in life, but help us to prioritize and put you first. And we're told that when we put you first, everything else will fall into place. In your son's name we pray. Amen.
Thank you, Shannon. As we prepare to hear God's word this morning, let us pray for the presence of God's Holy Spirit. Let us pray. God of grace and God of glory, as we open your word, we ask you to open our hearts so that we may receive the gift that you have for us today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, our first scripture lesson, so beautifully exemplified in that children's sermon, is from the Gospel according to Mark, chapter 10, verses 17 through 31. It is the story of a rich young man who wanted to know how he could be saved. Listen in the words of Jesus to that young man for God's word to us today. As he was setting out on a journey, a man ran up and knelt before him and asked him, "Good teacher, what must I do to inherit eternal life?" And Jesus said to him, "Why do you call me good? No one is good but God alone. You know the commandments. You shall not murder. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not steal. You shall not bear false witness. You shall not defraud. Honor your father and mother." The man said to Jesus, "Teacher, I have kept all these since my youth." And Jesus, looking at him, loved him and said, "You lack one thing. Go sell what you own and give the money to the poor, and you will have treasures in heaven. Then come and follow me." When he heard this, he was shocked, and he went away grieving, for he had many possessions. This is the difficult word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Our second scripture this morning is taken from the letter to the Hebrews, chapter 4, verses 12 through 16. You will hear in these words some words that are often said during our call to confession. I invite you to listen to these words from the Hebrews, from the letter to the Hebrews, for God's word to us. Indeed, the word of God is living and active, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing until it divides soul from spirit, joints from marrow. It is able to judge the thoughts and intentions of the heart. And before him, no creature is hidden, but all are naked and laid bare to the eyes of the one to whom we must render account. Since then, we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God. Let us hold fast to our confession. For we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weakness. But we have one who in every respect has been tested as we are, yet is without sin. Let us therefore approach the throne of grace with boldness, so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in times of need. This too is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Have you ever noticed that the rich never look very good in the story of Jesus? Think of the story of the rich man and Lazarus. In the Gospel of Luke, it says the poor man died and was carried away by the angels to be with Abraham. The rich man also died and was buried in Hades, where he was being tormented. He looked up and saw Abraham far away, with Lazarus at his side. Or think of the story of the rich fool. Through hard work and luck, he had accumulated great wealth. Feeling satisfied and secure, he congratulated himself for his accomplishments. But then God said to him, "You fool. This very night, your life is demanded of you, and the things you have prepared, whose will they be?" Jesus was not exaggerating when he said, "It is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich person to enter the kingdom of heaven." And that is enough to make good middle-class Americans like ourselves a little bit uncomfortable. Luckily, few of us feel very rich, even if we would like to be. This is in part because television, and for the younger generation, social media, give us a distorted picture of how most people live. A few years ago, I read a newspaper article about the television show Friends, which I think is enjoying a renewed popularity. It noted that the lifestyle they maintained was completely out of sync with the sorts of jobs that they had, and therefore the sorts of paychecks that they earned. Television, it turns out, provides a completely unrealistic picture of what people can afford. And social media today is even worse. And that provokes many of us to either live beyond our means or to resent the apparent shabbiness of our own lives. But there is also another reason few of us feel very rich. While a few in our society are becoming more and more and more wealthy, the majority of us are actually falling behind. The gap between the rich and the poor has been growing for half a century, leaving people like you and me working harder and harder to sustain a semblance of middle-class lifestyle. By comparison, To the very rich in our society, we certainly do not have very much. But by comparison to the poor in our society and around the world, we are very rich indeed. The fact is, many of us feel that we deserve more than we have. We are not like the poor who seem to expect a helping hand every time we turn around. We are not like the rich who cling to their wealth at the expense of the rest of us. We are hardworking, middle-class American citizens. We are the moral and economic backbone of this country, of the world as a whole, really. And that fact fills us with pride, to be sure, but also with resentment. Both the rich and the poor seem to take advantage of us. We work so hard. We should be getting ahead. But it sure feels like we're falling behind, doesn't it? We just want what we deserve. We can identify with the man who came to Jesus that day. He didn't want a handout. He didn't ask for something he didn't deserve. He asked, "What must I do to inherit eternal life? What must I do?" He was willing to earn it. He didn't want to be treated special. He was just like us. And like us and the disciples, he had a hard time understanding what Jesus was all about. So he asked for clarification. "What must I do? I follow the commandments and have since my youth. What more can God be expecting from me?" He just didn't get it. He wasn't a bad person. Far from it. He was unusually earnest and conscientious. He was just, well, a fool. That's nothing unusual or blameworthy. Most of us are. It is actually fairly common, especially among the rich, the young, and the religious. Each, for their own reasons, feel invulnerable, self-sufficient, equal to whatever challenge faces them. The young have strength and energy. They are bursting with the need to prove their worth to the world. The rich have resources to spare. They confront the world with confidence, knowing that their wealth will protect them from the misfortunes that thwart ordinary people. The religious. The religious, they love God and they do what is right. They walk through the world with their heads held high, knowing their righteousness gives them a special place in the heart of God. The young, the rich, the religious. They face the world confident that they can overcome any challenge, achieve any goal, pass any test. They are good enough, they are strong enough, and they are wise enough. "Tell me," they say, "tell me what I must do, and I will do it. You will see, you will be impressed. You will be inspired. You will be proud." Jesus just shook his head and smiled. Such foolish bravado is amusing and somewhat endearing. He looked at the rich, pious young man. He loved him, and he said, "You lack one thing. Go, sell what you own and give the money to the poor, and then come and follow me." When he heard this, the rich, pious young man was shocked and went away grieving, for he had many possessions. His world came crashing down all around him, because it turns out that he was not equal to this challenge. His youth, piety, and wealth, especially his wealth, were what gave him confidence in himself, and now he could see that he did not possess them. They possessed him. They whispered dubious compliments in his ear, making him feel powerful and self-sufficient. But all the while, they were ensnaring him in their tangled web of self-centeredness and pride. The one thing he could not do was give them up. They were the foundation upon which his whole world, his whole sense of himself was based. In the wink of an eye, or the snap of a finger, the tables were turned on him. Self-confidence became despair, and self-sufficiency turned to helplessness. A word from Jesus, and he went from the top to the bottom, from the heights to the depths. He learned in an instant what the letter to the Hebrews proclaims. The word of God is living and active, sharper than a two-edged sword, piercing until it divides soul from spirit, joint from marrow. A rich, pious young man felt as though he had been filleted alive. With a few words, Jesus had taken him apart, cut him to pieces, left him naked and vulnerable before the eyes of God, and more devastatingly, right in front of himself. He could no longer deflect his attention from the very uncomfortable, agonizing fact that he was a fool, a self-centered, self-indulgent, self-aggrandizing fool. He should have seen it coming. He had opened the conversation with Jesus by addressing him as good teacher, a standard title of respect and deference. Inexplicably, Jesus rebuked him sharply, saying, "Why do you call me good? No one is good except God alone." Jesus would not even allow himself to be called good. Everything, absolutely everything, has its source in God. All goodness is reflected goodness. All worth is borrowed worth. Even Jesus' accomplishments are not his own. Even Jesus' goodness comes down from above. How could this rich, pious young fool think that he could earn his way? What arrogance, what audacity to claim that he wanted nothing more than what he deserved. It didn't take long with Jesus before he realized his error. In the blink of an eye, Jesus showed him the truth about himself. Apart from God, he had nothing. Apart from God, he was no one. And the double-edged sword of Jesus' words revealed how very far he had wandered from God. He had imagined himself climbing up to heaven on the ladder of his good works. He imagined himself paying his own way into eternal life, but now he staggered away, hopelessly lost and helplessly unable to find his way home. The disciples were surprised and appalled by that turn of events. This rich, pious young man, so accomplished, so impressive, so good, had gone away defeated and in despair. And they asked one another, well, who then can be saved if not this young, pious, rich young man? And once again, Jesus just shook his head and smiled. Such foolish bewilderment was amusing, even endearing. He looked at them. He loved them. And with a twinkle in his eye, he said, for mortals it is impossible, but not for God. For God, all things are possible. No one, absolutely no one, can make their way to God. No one, absolutely no one, can earn their way into the kingdom of heaven. No one, absolutely no one, can stand on their own merit before the throne of God. Whatever gifts they bring, whatever accomplishes they have had, whatever goodness they possess has come to them, the outstretched arms of God. No one, not even the rich or the young or the pious, can reach the kingdom of God. But nothing, not even wealth or youth or piety, will prevent God from reaching out to them. God in Christ has pulled down the scaffolding that props up our false estimation of ourselves. But as we fall to pieces, God in Christ reaches out a hand to save us, placing us on the true and unshakable foundation of God's graciousness. This is our great comfort and the only reason we may approach the throne of grace with boldness. In the kingdom of God, many who are first will be last, but also many who were last shall be first. This is good news. This is good news for us. Even the rich, even the young, even the religious, like you and me, even hard-working middle-class Americans, even you and even me will be welcomed into the kingdom of God. Thanks be to God. And thanks be to our great high priest, Jesus Christ, who is able to sympathize with our weakness, just shaking his head and smiling. Amen.
And now, in response to God's word, let us stand and boldly proclaim what we believe using a portion of the Theological Declaration of Barmen, which is printed in your bulletin. As Jesus Christ is God's assurance of the forgiveness of all our sins, so in the same way and with the same seriousness, he is also God's mighty claim upon our whole life. Through him
befalls us a joyful deliverance from the godless fetters of this world for a free, grateful service to his creatures. We reject the false doctrine as though there were areas of our life in which we would not belong to Jesus Christ, but to other lords, areas in which we would not need justification and sanctification through him.
Please be seated.
Brothers and sisters, all that we are, all that we have, all that we may become is a gift to us from God. So now, in gratitude, humility, and thanksgiving, let us return but a portion of God's gifts for the sake of God's kingdom. Let us pray. Gracious God, receive these, our tithes and offerings. Use them for the sake of your kingdom and may they be a symbol of our desire to give away everything that we have and everything that we are in order to come and follow you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
You may be seated. Now we have a small opportunity to gather together the prayers of this community as we come before the Lord in prayer together. I ask you to especially keep in your prayer those who are still recovering from the hurricanes and the devastation in their communities as they continue and move from that immediate triage into their long-term recovery efforts, to support them in any way possible. To pray for Pam as she recovers from home at home from surgery this week, and for Carolyn as she's going to be undergoing some testing coming up soon. Annette, as she continues to struggle with healing from shingles, and also for Deb Bridges as she is struggling with a flare-up, and pray for these healing for all of these people. Let us gather these together with the others on our hearts and minds and bring them to the Lord. Let us pray. O good and gracious God, we come before you knowing that you have created us, that you have called us by name, that you love us, that you care for us in every moment of our life, in our times of sorrow, and in our times of joy, that you walk beside us each and every day. We come knowing that all good things in our lives come from you. We come knowing that apart from you, we only have nothing. That with you we have everything, our being, our creation itself is from you. You are our source, the source of love, the source of life, the source of peace. And we come and we call to you. We call from times of despair or challenge, and we pray that you would be with us in those, that we would feel your presence and know your leading in our lives. When we struggle with knowing which direction to go, that you would help provide clarity, that you would be with us, whatever direction we go. We pray that you would be with us in times of brokenness of health, that you would give us your peace, and that you would work through all those we may encounter in the medical field to provide healing for us. We pray that you would be with us in our times of brokenness of relationship, that you would help us to find a way to bridge divides that so often can tear us so far apart, and that you would help us to be able to love one another as you have first loved us. We pray for this world that is so often moaning and groaning because of tearing apart of relationship or world or politics or war. We pray that you would be for all those in this world who need your touch this day and need to feel your presence. We pray for this country as we go through this time of discernment for leadership. We pray that you would guide us, that you would be with us in all that we do, and that you would continue to walk with us daily. We pray for this community, that you would help us and reach out to those who are less fortunate than us, that we would be able to share our gifts with them, that you would help us to be able to show your love to all your people. And we pray for this community, for these concerns that have been lifted up out loud and all the others that are on our hearts and minds, that you would be with us, that we would feel you close as the very breath in our body, that we would know that you love us and have claimed us and called us by name. And as your forgiven and beloved children, we are bold to come before you now with the words that Christ taught his disciples, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. And now let us join together our voices as we praise, singing our final hymn, number 298. There's a wideness in God's mercy. Let us stand and join our voices together.